This is the Black and Blue Report, presented by ABC Insurance Agencies. A better choice for insurance. Now, from Studio B, or wherever the Saints and Pelicans might be, here's Brianna Nowlan and Cassie Calvert.
Hi, Saints and Pelicans fans. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Black and Blue Report. You're joined this morning by Cassie Calvert. It's just me in the studio today as Bree is on vacation and so is Daniel. So I'm your producer and your host on this fine Friday. And what an exciting Friday it is. The Saints schedule came out last night and I am really excited about some of these matchups. Talk about an exciting start to this season. The Saints will open the season on Monday Night Football at the Minnesota Vikings. How fun is that? You get to see Saints in prime time to kick off the season, kicking off a really exciting season, we hope. So looking forward to that one. Some other matchups I'm really excited for. I think the December 24th Christmas Eve home game against the Falcons in the Superdome. How cool is that? You get to watch your Saints take on the Dirty Birds in the Superdome and then go home and celebrate the rest of your Christmas Eve with your family or whatever holidays you celebrate, but love having the team home on Christmas Eve just like last year. And then the Saints will play early on New Year's Eve at Tampa Bay at 12 Central, so that'll be good. You get your football in before you begin your New Year's Eve festivities. So you can view that whole schedule on NewOrleansSaints.com, as I'm sure most of you have already checked that out. We're going to be talking football. We're going to be talking basketball today on the Black and Blue Report. We've got a jam-packed show for you. First up, we are going to hear from Cam Jordan, who's going to tell us all about his work with the USO this summer. He took a USO trip, really spent some time getting to know some of our troops. He's going to tell you all about his incredible experiences that he had there. He has done some incredible work this offseason, as we have come to expect from him in the New Orleans community. He is such a staple here. After Cam, we are going to talk to Jen Hale, who is covering the NBA playoffs for Turner. So she is covering the Bucks-Raptors series. So she's going to give us some insight in the playoffs, especially that series, what she thinks is going to happen going forward. So exciting basketball talk there. And we are going to continue our NFL draft series with Mick Mixon of the Carolina Panthers, who, as we know, divisional rival. He's going to break down what he expects them to do in the draft this year. They have the number 8 pick overall. Some running back names have been thrown around, especially a guy who's kind of popular around here, Leonard Fournette out of LSU. It's possible. I know Saints fans are going to cringe a little bit about if they're seeing him in a Panthers uniform this year, but it is quite possible. So we're going to talk to Mick about that and see if he thinks that's a possibility. Get an update on Cam Newton after his shoulder surgery this offseason. See where he's at, if they expect him back for training camp. So he's going to fill us in on all of that. And he's going to give us some insight onto the newest Saints, Ted Ginn Jr. and AJ Klein, who have come from Carolina. So exciting stuff from Mick, great stuff from Jen, and we'll hear about Cam Jordan's USO trip coming up next. I'm so excited. We've got a great show for you.
Everything you need to know about your New Orleans Pelicans is right in the palm of your hands. The New Orleans Pelicans app is easy to use, plus makes an excellent companion whether you're watching the team in the Smoothie King Center or on the road. Recently added features on the app include the latest videos and highlights, plus access to a full list of arena amenities. Download the Pelicans app for free now on your iPhone or Android devices. For more information, check out pelicans.com today.
Are you ready for a slimmer and trimmer you? Smoothie King's new and improved Slim and Trim meal replacement smoothies are here. Now with just 250 or fewer calories per 20-ounce cup, they're slimmer and trimmer than ever. Keep your diet on track and feel fuller longer with at least 11 grams of protein and 6 grams of fiber. Add Smoothie King to your diet today with new and improved Slim and Trim smoothies in 3 delicious flavors. Only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Diet and weight loss depend on individual needs, eating right, and exercising daily.
What's up, Black and Gold fans? This is Anthony Mackie, Seven Wars Soldier, Drew Brees' disciple. You are listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. I'm Cassie Calvert, and today I'm joined in studio by Cam Jordan, who's going to tell us a little bit about his USO trip. So tell me a little bit about your trip. How did that come about, and why did you decide to do this?
I don't know whether it was last year or the year before, a previous teammate, Akeem Hicks, had went out there. He had nothing but great things to say about it and just about how he valued our military so much more. And it was rightfully placed. We went out there to a couple bases and just got to interact with some of the military people that we had a chance to go visit. The bases that we went to, they were just so welcoming, so loving towards not only the Saints, but towards just, you know, the other players that were there as well. And for me, I mean, you really saw how the way they were living, you know, what they were doing. They sort of told us some of the stuff that they could, what they were doing out there and how it's just so detrimental to us as a nation. You know, they're out there really fighting for, you know, what we have forgotten as a war. Well, up till maybe this last week when, you know, Trump decided to bomb Syria or whatever, but that's not my place. I'd like to say we were going to go see some planes and then they took off because they had missions or whatever. But for everything that they do, I mean, it just brings to light, you know, how much it is that they sacrifice for us.
So specifically, how long were you there and what were you able to see?
How long was I there? I don't know. We were there a couple days in Kuwait, another couple days in UAE, and we got a, you know, during the day you do this USO tour, and then one night, you know, I had to slip into Dubai. I mean, you're in Abu Dhabi, and as you know, as a person who loves culture, different cultures anyways, I had to slip into Dubai, see what it was talking about. That was great. And then of course we went into Bahrain, and you know, previous to this trip, I have never heard Bahrain used in a sentence before, let alone know it as a country. And it just broadens everything that, you know, you figure out. And as well as, you know, there's, of course, more bases out in the Middle East, but how important each site is. And of course, you know, I can't tell location or whatever, but I can tell you that the men and women that are part of these bases love our country, if not more so than, you know, we really think and honor them for.
Did you have any encounters that really stood out to you, maybe specifically?
For sure. I mean, I'm actually really met a couple people from Louisiana out there, and some people from Mississippi who might be more diehard Saints fans than some of the guys from Louisiana. But you figure Mississippi doesn't have a team to root for at all out there. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, maybe, is that like a real school?
It's a real school. I can confirm that.
But yeah, so you know, they just had so much love, and I was talking to one of these ladies, and you know, she, you know, been a Saints fan her whole entire life, had enlisted at 18 and worked her way up, you know, and then had gotten out to not only, you know, and just the life that she had lived, how many countries she had seen, and for somebody coming out of, you know, Mississippi, that's, you know, most of her family had never even been overseas yet, and she had seen, you know, 9 different countries or whatever it was at 20, whatever she was.
Wow.
But that being said, she also tells you, you know, about what it is to be a woman in the military, and one of the bases, you know, that was real strict. It was real strict rules about that. Everybody had such a high level of respect for everybody else. Not to say that any other base didn't, but this one particular base, you could just tell how everybody respected each other, how everybody worked together, and everybody was on this equal playing field. And the way she expressed how she loved doing her job, that's you know, the way I express loving football. And it was just so easy to relate to her.
Yeah, something everyone can relate to, certainly. Did you have any family connection to the military before this, or was this all kind of new for you?
I have an uncle who was in the Navy. That being said, he was probably out by the time I was, you know, mm-hmm. 9 or 10 or whatever it was. So, yeah, we have a little bit of connection there. But honestly, it was just there just to, again, bring it all in and be able to appreciate our military more than, you know, saying, hey, they're overseas and they're, you know, taking care of business, or, you know, have my own personal opinion about, oh, maybe they should come back, yada, yada, yada. But you get out there and you realize each one of these guys enlisted in the military have such a strong belief of whatever it is that their job is doing, it's going to secure for the betterment of our country and or our nation or our people. And it just presses them to be better.
Do you think you'll recommend this trip to your teammates?
I already have. I mean, this is something that's eye-opening. I don't know about going forward. Again, when we were out there, you know, the mission started up with mm-hmm. the whole Syria thing. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that coming forth. But, yeah, I already have. I mean, it was an awesome trip. Everything was just so top-notch. It felt like I was so included in everything. And, again, I got to see things that I have never seen before. So,
You're known throughout the organization as being someone who's really generous with your time in the local community, too. I know every Tuesday players go out and do community events, and that's something that's been a real priority for you. Why is that?
I mean, when you're talking about being New Orleans Saints, you're talking about New Orleans first. Mm-hmm. So as a Saint, I feel like it's a part of everything that I've always wanted to do. I mean, in college, you went out and you read to kids and you did whatever, and it was sort of orchestrated. But here, as an adult, you have to go out there and search. You have to search your city. You have to find out what it is that, you know, the city wants. The people in the city respond to us so well. I mean, they ride with us, whether it's a 7-9 season or, you know, 13-3 season. The city has always been our backbone for us. And it's only right to go back into the city and try and give love back as much as they give.
Do you feel that connection even stronger than with the fans on game day because you do get out in the community and get to know them on a personal level?
I don't know about game day. Come game day, I'm sort of focused on wrecking some stuff. but I'll say, you know, the other 6 days, it's nothing but love. It's nothing but feedback. And even, you know, again, if it's a slow start to the season, you know, they're already looking for the bounce back about how we're going to come over and take over. And they just know, as a fan base, you know, we're giving it our all to be the best that we can be.
Switching gears just a little bit for the last couple of questions. We've heard that you're going to be involved in a lip sync battle this summer with Mark Ingram.
TBD.
TBD?
TBD. you know, some things are going on, and I'm not sure if we're 100% in yet, mm-hmm. but, you know, we're gearing towards the lip sync battle. And, that's...
What would be your first choice of a song if you do it? Do you have any song ideas?
My first choice?
Yeah.
I grew up, I like to say my first R&B song that I could probably fully recite was Usher, My Way. if you have to go back farther than that, I don't know. It would probably have to be like LL Cool J. You know, I could actually probably go for some Bobby Brown. Now, if we're going fast forward this thing, you know, to our relative times, we're good, you know. I'm still probably a huge Outkast fan. And if we're talking about rap anyways, I grew up a Busta Rhymes fan somehow. he was probably just more, or he was wild and energetic, and so I sort of like to match the hype. Yeah, and, you know, if we talk about now just you can listen to anybody, J. Cole, K. Dot. I can't listen to this new crew, the Lil Yachty's and the Young. I can listen to Young Dolph. I don't know, everybody else sort of gets on my nerves. But I can play for the culture.
All right, well, we'll stay tuned for that this summer. We appreciate your time this morning. Great work that you did this off season, and we look forward to the season.
No doubt. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll be talking NBA playoffs with Jen Hale. Stay tuned.
The Bayou Country Superfest is coming to New Orleans, starring Blake Shelton.
Boys round here, drinking that ice cold beer.
Miranda Lambert.
You can't ride in my little red wagon.
Brooks and Dunn. Rascal Flatts. Thomas Rhett. Hank Williams Jr.
All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
And more. Memorial Day weekend, May 26th through 28th at the air-conditioned Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Bayou Country Superfest. Tickets on sale now with Blake Shelton, Miranda Lambert, Brooks and Dunn, Rascal Flatts, Thomas Rhett, Hank Williams Jr., Brett Eldridge, Old Dominion, and more. Plus a free kickoff concert May 26th. For hotel info, visit BayouCountrySuperfest.com. Sponsored in part by Bud Light, the official beer of the Bayou Country Superfest.
We're talking NBA playoffs on the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. We're joined by Jen Hale this morning, who is calling us from apparently very chilly Milwaukee.
Yes, exactly. Hi, Cassie. How are you?
Doing great. So Jen is joining us. She is covering the Bucks-Raptors series for Turner NBA TV. Jen, I think this series is going a lot differently than a lot of people expected. Last night you covered the game. The Bucks topped the Raptors 104-77, their biggest win at the Bradley Center, and they now lead the series 2-1. What has been the story of this series? I think a lot of people expected the Raptors coming in with the 3 seed, Bucks the 6, to kind of breeze right through to the second round, but that has not been the case.
Yeah, no doubt, Cassie. I think a lot of people thought this was going to be an easy one for the Raptors and that it would really be a warm-up for the next round where, theoretically, they would meet the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it has been the absolute opposite. Toronto has not looked good out of the gate since the very beginning. Yes, the series 2-1, but even Toronto's win in Game 2 was shaky. It was extremely close. And the Bucks missed a couple of key shots right there at the end that really show the game could have gone the other way. As far as why, what's going on, Milwaukee's legit. They're for real. They are young. They're athletic. They're long. I don't think the Raptors, especially the Raptors style, it does not go with the Bucks. They just don't match up well at all. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, if you will, he's coming into his own. He's got a cast of characters around him that can also shoot and do some damage, and they're finding their stride. They're trapping the Raptors a lot, and the Raptors just don't know how to get open. They don't know how to get out of those traps. And last night especially, the three ball was not falling for them, and that has been the only place they've really had success from deep, from beyond the arc. It's really been the only answer they've had for Milwaukee's trap. So when that doesn't go, they're in trouble. Also, their two stars, you know, it's one of the best backcourts in the league, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. In Game 1, it was Lowry who could not get going. And last night, Game 3, DeMar DeRozan, who averages 27 points per game in the regular season, he was scoreless from the field. His only points came off of free throws.
Well, yeah, and then you look at the Bucks, whose bench nearly outscored the Raptors team in the first half. In fact, they did outscore the Raptors team in the first half. So they have had the depth that, and then you look at the Raptors, whose two stars haven't really been able to get going.
Yeah, the Bucks are playing like a veteran team. You would not think that it's one of the youngest teams in the league or that most of the guys on there haven't had a playoff experience ever. For me, what's been fun, Greg Monroe of the Bucks, a lot of people in New Orleans will remember. He's from Harvey, went to Helen Cox High School, was a huge champion for the city post-Katrina, and he is one of the oldest players to have never seen a playoff appearance. So more than 500 games that he had under his belt before he got to go to the playoffs. So it's been fun to reconnect with him and fun to see him get to live out his playoff dream, especially with the Bucks doing so well.
Yeah, you mentioned how young they are. Their starting lineup, their oldest player is 25. They have a 20-year-old in their starting lineup. So this team has the potential to be great for years to come, too. It's kind of almost scary how well they're performing at such a young age.
Cassie, it's a great point. They have two rookies in their starting lineup, as a matter of fact, and they still don't have Jabari Parker. He's still out.
Yeah.
So when you talk about scary, yeah, imagine how those two rookies will be after this type of experience, Malcolm Brogdon and Thon Maker, and then once Jabari gets back. I think they're an extremely legit team, and they play unselfishly. It's oftentimes, unfortunately, just getting out of a team's own way, getting out of their head, playing unselfishly. A lot of times that's such a hurdle and challenge. And this group may be young, but they have that part down pat. They trust each other. They play for each other. They certainly act much older. They have a presence about them that you wouldn't expect from a group that young.
Certainly. It's impressive that they were able to come out and win at home in Toronto, take that first game. So they could, if they win on Saturday, they could win two straight at home and head back to Toronto with a 3-1 lead, which could potentially end the series for them.
It could. It is a very real possibility. You look at last night's score, and it was absolute domination. So how will the Raptors respond? Will they come back angry and desperate? So many times the more desperate team wins. Or was the score that runaway kind of the dagger in the heart, the foot on the throat, that they won't be able to come back from? It'll be interesting to see. It'll say a lot about the Raptors' mettle and their stick-to-itiveness. Whether they just come out completely discouraged or whether they come back and fight from this one. I have to tell you, I have been so impressed with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Everybody knows he's a fantastic player, the first player in NBA history to ever finish in the top 20 in all five statistical categories. But his presence, I had a 30-minute sit-down interview with him yesterday, and his story, it's just amazing. His family immigrated from Nigeria to Greece, or his parents did, rather. That's where they had their kids. And he grew up going to school and then after school coming home and helping his parents sell trinkets to tourists on the streets to eat. Abject poverty until the day he signed his NBA tender. And the thought processes that he has, the way he looks at things, the value he puts on this opportunity and this team, it's just something that you don't see every day, even out of good people and good players. It's a whole nother level, and he brings all of that to the court, and if he stays in this mindset, which I would think he would in talking to him, I don't think the fame and the money are going to get to him. That mental approach and that mental strength are really going to carry Milwaukee and be a rallying point, I think, for years to come.
That's incredible and extremely refreshing. He seems to really value his family. They seem to be very close-knit, so that's their story is certainly incredible.
It is. It absolutely is. And he's a joy to talk to. I did ask him, and I wasn't sure how he'd respond. You know, when you're interviewing people that you don't know very well, you kind of have to feel it out. So I kind of joked with him and said, well, who in your family was the better salesperson? Because there are four brothers. So they would all go out after school and sell sunglasses and sunscreen and whatnot. And he started laughing, and he said, well, of course I was. I was the cuter kid. I was the cutest out of the whole four. Yeah. So he has a great sense of humor. He can laugh at himself. Very impressive young man.
Speaking of a sense of humor, I have to ask you this. It was reported that the Raptors were introduced to a Barney song last night in Milwaukee. Do you have any background on where that decision came from?
I think that was, this is my guess, I do not know, so take it with several grains of salt, I suppose. I think that was in reference to their Raptor mascot.
Okay, I did not put that together. That makes a little more sense.
But that is only a guess.
That's too funny. So looking at the playoffs as the bigger picture, are there any other surprises, storylines you're particularly enjoying this year?
Yeah, gosh, I think there's been a lot of great action, a lot of upsets or at least punches traded that I don't think you would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, unfortunately, I know everybody's hearts and prayers go out to Boston and Isaiah
Absolutely.
Thomas with the loss of his sister, but I don't think most people traditionally thought a number one seed would be in this type of trouble. Now, granted, I think Boston was an unusual first seed. I think most people thought Cleveland would have grabbed that. And boy, what about their comeback last night? As
Incredible.
The games were going on at the same time, so I couldn't watch. I only saw the highlights after the game. But I think they rallied from like a 24 or 27 point deficit.
26 point deficit. The largest comeback in playoff history.
Wow. I mean, just incredible. Just speaks to LeBron James's, again, not only his physical strength and physical talents, but the mental strength mm-hmm. to do that and march on. And then Golden State making it look easy, even without Kevin Durant. That's been fun to watch as well.
Yeah, so Cavs took the 3-0 lead last night. Like we said, the largest comeback in NBA playoff history. LeBron finishes with 41 points. Just the ability to take over a game is absolutely incredible.
Every time you think he can't up his performance or up his game or add to his legend, he does it. I don't know. Maybe he's a little miffed about not being included more in the MVP conversation, because that was otherworldly what they did.
Absolutely. Well, Jen, thank you so much for your time this morning. We look forward to continue watching you on NBA TV, and best of luck to you as the playoffs continue.
Thanks so much. I'll see y'all soon.
When we come back, we'll talk NFL draft with Carolina Panthers broadcaster Mick Mixon.
Ochsner believes the best way to predict the future is to invent it. Here, our doctors and staff are changing lives day after day.
Every week, I'm operating on babies who are days old with hearts smaller than walnuts. We're giving these kids a life they wouldn't otherwise have, a chance to grow up.
Sometimes cancer patients come who were told they were out of options, but Ochsner has the most clinical trials in the state. It's amazing to be able to give second chances.
We're always a step ahead, even with simple things, like getting you in to see a doctor today versus a week from now, so what you have doesn't become something bigger. It makes a difference.
Every day, Ochsner is creating a better future by looking forward and thinking differently to find life-changing solutions. That's healthcare with peace of mind. Appointments are available today. Call 866-OCHSNER or visit ochsner.org.
Hi, it's Mark Romig. When I'm not announcing Touchdown Saints, I'm listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. I'm Cassie Calvert, and this morning I have the honor of being joined by phone by Mick Mixon, play-by-play announcer for the Carolina Panthers. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Cassie, it's an honor. I appreciate hearing your voice. And when you see my colleague Jim Henderson down there, give him a big hug for us and tell him we said what's up. He's pure class, and we always enjoy seeing him in the press box. We don't enjoy playing the Saints a lot of the times because y'all are rude to us, but Henderson's a good dude.
Will do. So heading into next week with the draft coming up, the Panthers are right now sitting at number 8th pick overall. A big position that's come up in a lot of mock drafts the Panthers may be looking to go with that pick is running back. What do you think the likelihood of using that pick at running back is? And there's kind of been two key names with two very different styles with Leonard Fournette, a local guy here, and Christian McCaffrey. Who do you think would better fit in the Panthers system if they do, in fact, go running back?
We could do an entire podcast show, go to somewhere, have chicken wings, talk for all night about this. I'll try to be brief. It's intriguing. Ezekiel Elliott's rookie year with the Cowboys, and of course he was behind a very robust O-line, but his season with Dallas has sort of shaken up how teams view taking a running back in the top half of the draft. I think that there's a return. Running backs are seeing a little bit of a return to prominence. Additionally, you got two, and you mentioned their names, Cassie. You got two possibly, oh my gosh, this guy can make yards. He can make magic. He can take a play above the level of its blocking, and in Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette. I think that Fournette probably just on the hoof fits the Panthers' style better. Any back that plays here is going to have to be very good in without the football, good in blitz pickup, good in pass pro. Fournette at somewhere between 228 and 250 pounds has that heavy core and that strength, you know. But McCaffrey, been compared to Julian Edelman, can move out to the slot. I mean, he looks to my untrained eye just like in any era. Plug him in, could probably get you out of a game at quarterback, could probably deep snap, hold, punt, catch the ball, block downfield, a very intelligent athlete as well. So I don't know. I guess if I had to, I wouldn't bet my house on it, but I'd probably maybe consider betting my truck that if the Panthers go running back, it would be Fournette over McCaffrey, but again, I'm just the guy up here that says 10-5 touchdown. They don't consult with me on these things.
That's a great point about Ezekiel Elliott. That's really interesting. But the Panthers have kind of made no secret about wanting to ease the burden on Cam Newton. And do you think Fournette kind of gives them the ability to do that?
Definitely that. I think it fits. It fits. And you know, who knows? I mean, the Panthers could end up going place kicker in round one. I don't think that's going to happen, but Dave Gettleman, our GM, is very hard to predict on. He'll tell you, he'll look you right in the eye, Cassie, and he'll tell you that, you know, he likes edge pass rushers. He likes hog mollies. That's his word for big, strong football. He likes big interior players. He says they big men give your skill guys a chance to compete. But then he's hard to predict. Last year the Panthers went corner, 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 three defensive backs in the draft, and I don't think any draft nick saw that coming. So it's unpredictable. But I do think that Fournette, I mean, what kind of a guy is he? You guys have followed his career for a long time down there. Do you think he would fit the Panthers?
That's the million-dollar question right now, isn't it? And also, like, is he still going to be available at number eight is another possibility that he might be snatched up before the Panthers are even on the board.
Great call. I think that's one thing that I haven't heard a lot of other people that I visited with about the draft mention that you've mentioned is that he may not be there. He could come off the board at four. He could come off at six, seven. A talent like that, he may not be available for the Panthers. So I think the Panthers definitely have a backup plan, and I'm sure they do.
So if Panthers don't go running back, two other names that have kind of been thrown around is the Tennessee DE, Derek Barnett, O.J. Howard, another kind of local guy out of Alabama. What have you seen from those two, and how do you think either of them would fit into the Panthers system?
Yeah, probably a slightly more familiar with Howard just because he kind of have that eyebrow cocked in his direction, thinking that the Panthers do love to use the tight end. Greg Olsen, one of Cam Newton's favorite targets. And I think Carolina has to look past Greg Olsen at who's the next really good, dependable target with ball skill at tight end. I don't think Malik Hooker will be on the board, but safety is another position. If you could get some skull-crushing safety in here, that would also help Carolina, particularly playing that deadly combination of Drew Brees and Sean Payton and how they spread the ball around.
Yeah, you mentioned lining up against the Saints, and there will be two familiar faces for the Panthers this year with Ted Ginn Jr. and A.J. Klein both signing with the Saints this offseason. What should Saints fans expect from them?
We'll talk about Klein first. Klein is, if A.J. Klein would have been a star here were it not for Luke Kuechly. Kuechly is the leading man, Klein more the understudy, but that's not been fair to A.J. Klein. Mm-hmm. Klein is a very, very good football player. Instincts for days, strong. He's got a burst. He's not scared. He's a very good football player. It's just that he's not necessarily got the Q rating that he would have had because of the great Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis playing linebacker here, siphoning off a lot of the publicity. Klein's an outdoorsman, so he'll wet a hook. He'll go into the woods and come out with turkey or whatever you hunt down there. Klein's good like that. And then Ted Ginn, Teddy Ballgame, one of the few players in the history of the Carolina Panthers, Steve Smith would be another one where anytime he touches the ball, anywhere on the field, the next play could be an extra point. That's just the broken field, that border collie ability to change directions. And I think, man, the combination of Ginn and Brees will keep the Panther defensive coaches up very late at night when those weeks come that the Panthers play New Orleans.
So looking beyond the number eighth pick for the rest of the draft for the Panthers, they've talked about needing to upgrade the slot, maybe potentially a tackle after a lot of injuries in that position last year. What else do you see from the draft this year?
It's not that deep of an O-line draft, according to what I've heard some of our scouts say. But if there was a good value of a center guard combo player, maybe a tackle in the later rounds that the Panthers could get in here and maybe grow into a productive O-lineman, the Panthers might look in towards that. I think that you mentioned the other ones would be probably defensive line, outside linebacker. I think, it's the slot, and I like what you said about the slot receiver, Cassie, because the Panthers would, without Ted Ginn, I mean, there's a need there. Who's gonna be that return man in the kicking game you have to scheme for? Who's going to be that slot receiver that can make those side adjusts and get open on a hot read situation? You know, I hate comparing players because there's only one of this guy, that guy, and the other guy, but I remember when Randall Cobb came out in the draft, I remember thinking, man, a Randall Cobb-type player would help the Panthers in so many different ways.
So they may be looking for that in this draft, certainly. So another offseason thing for the Panthers that Saints fans certainly have their eye on was Cam Newton's surgery. What can you tell us about that, and do the Panthers expect to have him back for training camp?
That's the plan. He tried to rehab his shoulder without surgical intervention. They tried all the regimen of rest and then building back with strength and flexibility exercises. But when Cam started to throw, it just wasn't there. He just didn't have the pain-free range of motion that he was desirous of. So they decided to go in and clean it up. That's been done. And he's been in the building. I've seen him a couple of times working out and wearing out the bearings of a treadmill down in the weight room down one floor below where I'm talking to you from now. And he's all smiles. He said the other day he's looking forward to getting his mojo back, and it's hard to have your mojo when you're a trigger man and it hurts to throw the ball.
Absolutely. Well, Saints fans will certainly be keeping their eye on that one, and we will look to see him back this season when both these teams match up twice this upcoming season. Thank you so much for all your insight on the draft, and we will certainly look forward to seeing what Dave Gettleman does, because like you said, he is very unpredictable.
He is that, as all the good ones are. Thanks for having me on, Cassie, and you guys come see us.
Absolutely. We appreciate the time.
If you don't want to miss out on any of the action, get connected with your New Orleans Pelicans 24/7, 365. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter for exclusive prizes and giveaways. Plus, text with all the latest breaking news right on your phone with Pelicans Mobile Alerts. Visit Pelicans.com for information on these great features. Plus, sign up for Pelicans Insider with weekly updates from the Pelicans. Join the conversation today.
Staying informed before and after a storm is critical. Hello, I'm Dave Mason, Entergy lineman and safety specialist. Sign up for text alerts by downloading the free Entergy app. If the power goes out, we'll keep you informed with outage maps and alerts. You can also visit EntergyStormCenter.com, where you can learn how we are preparing for the storm and how you can prepare. That's EntergyStormCenter.com.
I'm Jerry Robson, and you're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
That's going to do it for us on this jam-packed Friday afternoon. We like to cram in all the NBA basketball and NFL football we can before you head into the weekend. A good weekend of NBA playoff action coming up, as Jen Hale previewed for you earlier on today's show. When we come back on Monday, we'll talk the results of those NBA games and continue our NFL draft preview series heading into the draft that starts the end of next week. It's a very exciting time here at the Saints and Pelicans practice facility, and we'll be back with you next week to tell you all about it. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report, presented by ABC Insurance Agencies. A better choice for insurance. If all goes well, we'll be back next week. Tune in each weekday at noon Central or at your convenience exclusively online at Pelicans.com and NewOrleansSaints.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.